So we're in the book of Galatians, and I want you to turn to chapter 3, and we're going to go through Galatians. The title of my message today is called, It's All About Inheritance. It's all about inheritance. Let's say the word inheritance together. Ready? Inheritance. The Bible is an inheritance. It is called an inheritance. Well, how do you say that, Pastor John? Well, the books from Genesis to Malachi are called the Old Testament. And the books from Matthew to Revelation are called the New Testament. The word testament has to do with inheritance, doesn't it? A testament is a will. It's another word for a will. And actually, it makes for very good theater. It makes for very good, interesting shows. How many of you have seen a television show, a movie, or a play that was focused around somebody discovering about something in a will that they didn't know they were in, or about fighting and murder and stuff like that, about wills? And if you've lived long enough and you have a big enough family, you know that there's some how doozy arguments that go on, fights all about the wills, right? So I'd say 90% of all drama is around testaments and wills. Seems like there's a lot of drama about it. I remember we were going through Dad's will. Well, he didn't actually have a will. That was the thing. Dad didn't have a will, and his father didn't have a will, which made life very interesting. But when we were going through that stuff, the lawyers were telling us, wow, you guys really get along. He said, we want you to know how much we appreciate not having you guys kill each other while we're doing this. Because the attorneys were so used to everybody just being mad at each other and killing each other and fighting over this or that. They complimented us. So we had a witness and a testimony. Anyway, so I'm going to read our passage, and then we're going to talk about it. So the Bible itself is a will. It's a testimony, and we call it the Old Testament and the New Testament. All right, Galatians chapter 3, we're going to start with verse 23 and read through the end of the chapter. Amen? All right, I love this. Before this faith came, I'm reading out of NIV, by the way. You may be seeing the other one. We were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision, locked up, if you will, by the law. He's no longer our jailer. You are all sons of God through faith. Boy, I tell you, there's a lot of time we say the word faith in it. You ought to say it with me when I read it. You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs or inheritors according to the promise. So we, receiving Christ, the main function of salvation is inheritance. It's inheritance. It is not achievement. America is based on achievement. Right? There was a group when I was growing up called Junior Achievement. Yeah, that was back in the day. You had junior achievers. And all the social organizations that we grew up with were all about achieving and obtaining this. But the gospel is about inheritance, not achievement. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
Now, there's a big difference between achieving, earning, working for, and I thank God that we like to work in America. I really do. Because when we hire somebody at the carver shop, we want them to work, not inherit their paycheck. Got it? Danny, can you say amen to that? Amen to that. We got a few that try to come in there and inherit their paycheck, and it doesn't last very long. They don't stay very long. And you don't want somebody doing that to you if you're a boss, and you don't want, if you're working with someone who is in the inheriting business and not the working business, it's no fun to work with somebody like that either, because they don't do the work they should be doing, and so guess what happens a lot of times? You end up doing it for both of them until truth gets out. So I thank God that America, that we love to work, but working is not the basis for the gospel. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
It's not about what you do for God. It's about you, what you get or what you inherit from the Lord.
Amen.
It's what you receive from the Lord. And what you inherit from the Lord. Now, that's what the gospel is all about. And that's why the gospel is based on promise, not precept. That's a big word, precept. We don't use it very much. Promise, but they tend to rhyme. That's why I like to use it. It's based on a promise, not a precept. Now, a precept or a principle is something, a rule that you follow, that if you do this rule, you get this. Right? So if I show up to work on time, I will not get fired. That's a rule. I was talking to somebody. Who was I talking to about this? We were talking about people who don't last for... Was it Kenny? Was you and I talking about... We were talking about someone who was working, and they just didn't show up on time, and they had a rule at Family Dollar, okay, that you got 5 write-ups, and the first one was verbal, and then they started writing you up, and then I forgot who I was talking to about it, but they were just laughing because this person didn't show up to work on time, so they got their verbal warning. Then they didn't show up the second time on time, and so they got written up. And so they kept running it all the way to the last time. And so the guy sat the person down. It was a girl. He sat her down and said, look, you come late one more time, you're fired. And lo and behold, she decided to come on time that time. Yeah. So a precept or a principle, if you live by principle, that means that you have to be almost some people. It works by fear, right? Right? It works by consequence because you get afraid of the consequence and you don't want that consequence to hit you. So you come to work on time. Am I right? Come on now. This is Martinsville, Henry County we're talking about. You know, and we were talking about how the best thing a school could teach a kid or a family, the best thing you could teach your child is to teach them how to come on time, right? I mean, that's just one of the basic principles. And that person would end up being hired. And they'd have work. Because they'd be, man, I like that person. They come on time. You know what I mean? They're there. They're ready to go. So anyway, how many of you want our community transformed? Yes. I want our place to be known for high employment as opposed to high unemployment. I want them to, when they're planning the jail down there, I want to say, no, we got to build a smaller jail because we don't get people here. Or they're going to build a bigger jail so that they can put people in from other areas because our crime rate has drastically fallen. I'd like to see that. How many of you would like to see that? Well, we got to believe God for this generation. So, like I said, like fear and consequence and rules all have to do with performance. But that is not the gospel. The gospel is inheritance, not rules. And it's not based on fear either. That's not the gospel. Now, what is inheritance? I'm going to give you some 7 scriptures real quick. If you want to write them down, you can look at them later. But I'm going to show you that the gospel is not just in this one thing talking about inheritance. All right? Are you ready? Matthew 5:5, the meek will inherit, come on, the earth. So we inherit the earth. We don't earn the earth, do we? It's given to us. Matthew 19:29 says that we inherit eternal life. We inherit eternal life. Matthew 5:5, we inherit the earth. Matthew 19:29, we inherit eternal life. Matthew 25:34 says that we inherit the kingdom. We don't earn the kingdom. We don't build the kingdom. By the way, who builds the church? You or God? He builds the church. So if you're building something you call the church, it may not be God's building. Just saying. We inherit the imperishable. 1 Corinthians 15:50. We inherit something imperishable. You know what that is? A body that doesn't perish. That's a cool kind of body. You know what? When they were living in the wilderness, it says they had clothes that didn't wear out. Now, how many of you would like something like that? I'd like that. Because I tell you, when I get a piece of clothing I really like, I want to wear it all the time, and I don't care how bad it looks. It may have holes in it, but I want to keep wearing it, don't you? Because it just fits really good. It feels good. It looks good. So they had clothing like that for how many years in the wilderness were they? 40 years! Does anybody here have clothing in their closet that's over 40 years old? Cool! See? Woo! Did you wear it every day? Be interested to see what it looks like. Yvonne, is it like a really hippie looking outfit? Yvonne never stopped being a hippie, by the way. John, what color was this? Lime green? He's got a lot of vintage. It's called vintage. You could sell it now and make a lot of money, you know. Oh, you go, boy. All right, you go. You should put him on an exhibition at Piedmont Arts. All right, that's cool. No. Oh, man. 1970 t-shirt. That would be actually kind of cool to see. I don't have shirts that old. I got some from the 80s, but not from the 70s or 60s. Okay, here we go. We inherit salvation in Hebrews 1:14. Do you realize that you're born again, you get saved because of an inheritance?
Yes.
Cool. That's pretty cool. So it's a gift. Well, I want to go there. It's not just somebody giving you salvation. You inherit salvation. That's pretty cool. How about promises? Hebrews 6:12. You inherit promises. That means in the document or the testament or the will, there are promises made that your name is attached to them. That's cool. And then last but not least, you inherit blessing. Hebrews 12:17. Esau tried to get the blessing. He couldn't inherit it because he renounced the blessing. So there are 7 things that I found that you get from inheritance. Period. Inheritance is the way you get them. Not hard work, unfortunately. I want you to know I believe in hard work. And I thank God for America that we know what it means to work hard here. Okay? Yes. Yeah. Yes, I didn't even touch the Old Testament. That's in Proverbs, right?
Yeah.
A wise man leaves an inheritance to his children. How many know our Father in heaven is a wise man? He's a wise man. He leaves us an inheritance.
Even if your parents are Christians, you get that inheritance.
You get a spiritual inheritance. I mean, we could really talk about that too. That there's a spiritual heritage. That's why it's nice to know your family. And then I discover things about my family that my mom or my dad didn't tell me. And I'm going, wow, this is cool. I feel like I've inherited that and I didn't even know it. And then you get stuff. We've inherited musical instruments from my grandfather, who used to play the violin for church. So we've got his violin that he played, even though he was an attorney. Anyway, okay. So I'm going to give you four main points here. We're going to talk about this in Galatians. All right, here's some characteristics of inheritance that we need to know. All right. That wills are written down in advance and then sealed with witnesses. So the scripture, if we read the scripture, we need to understand that the scripture was written like a testimony or a will of the person who wrote it. And by the way, there's only one person who wrote this Bible. Come on. Yeah. Who is the Word of God? Jesus. So even though there are different authors, we know there are many authors, physical authors, there's only one author, and that's the Lord. So he left this for us. It was written ahead of time. I wasn't there. Anybody there when they wrote? I wasn't there when they wrote this stuff. Okay? And it's sealed. So when does the will get unsealed?
When somebody dies.
And Jesus died, correct?
Yes.
So when you read the story, how many of you know the story of the prodigal son?
Yes.
He tried to get an inheritance before somebody died.
Yes.
You can't get the inheritance from your heavenly father unless you accept the death of Jesus. Can you? People will try to get the inheritance from God without accepting the death of Christ, like the prodigal son did. But he had to learn that you can't get your inheritance. You try to live it now. Some people try to live the blessing now without really accepting the death of Christ, and so they miss out on it. They've got to come back to the Father's house. How many of you are calling right now? We're going to call prodigals back to the house here. There are prodigals out there that are trying to live in the inheritance, thinking that all they have is this world to enjoy, right? But how do you know it's pig slop compared to what heaven's like? Can I say that again? The joys and the pleasures of this life are pig slop compared to heaven.
Amen.
I mean, I enjoy pig. Thank God for pig. Right, Brother? That was Brother Joe Crandall, preacher up Rocky Mountain. He used to bless the pig. Thank God for the pig. Because bacon comes from pigs. Yep, that's right. But we did in Jesus' name. So somebody has to die for you to inherit it. So that's why when the seven seals are opened in the book of Revelation, why could they be opened? Because Jesus died. They were sealed for the day of his death. And that celebration in heaven where they opened the seven seals was because Jesus, the Lamb of God, was slain. That's why they could open the seals and open up the will of God. The seven seals in the book of Revelation is the will of God. It's the promises of God released. You don't give out the property. You don't give out the stuff in the inheritance until a set time comes. Right? You can't do that. You don't want to use the inheritance before it's given out. Okay. So, when a will is put in force, it's given to somebody called an executor, and they execute the will. The person who writes the will is called a testator, right? That's the legal term for it. And a testator leaves a testament. So that person, and it was interesting, I got to read some old wills that were in my family, just doing some research about them. Do you realize that the foundation for every will in the law code of the United States begins with a testimony about Jesus Christ. Did you know that? If you read the wills of your ancestors that were Christian, the very first thing they do is, in the name of Jesus Christ, blah, blah, blah. And the first thing that they start their will out with legally is how they appreciate all the good things that God gave them and how they lived their life for the Lord and how they wanted to testify after they left this earth. They wanted to leave a written testimony of their faith in Christ. That is what you will see that you don't always hear about. How many of you knew that? You'll see it. It's part of our legal culture. And you'll see it written down in will after will after will after will. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank God for the life that He's given me. It's your time to actually write down your thanksgiving for what He's done for you. And then after that, you say, this is the person now I put in charge of my things after I leave. Another comforter, by the way. Right? That's what Jesus said. I'm giving you another person to execute my will. He's called the Holy Spirit. It is His job to hand out the things in my will for you. Of course, Jesus Himself was raised from the dead, so He gets to do that too, which is fun. He died and raised from the dead. That's really good. That's a good deal, by the way. Just want you to know, I thank God that it is appointed for me to die, but it's also appointed for me to be resurrected, and I get both because of Jesus. Amen. I thank God that I have escaped the second death. Dying once is only enough for me. I thank you very much. I don't want to die more than once. How about you? Amen. I don't want to die the second death. And I don't want to, I thank God that I got the resurrection of life already. I'm walking in the down payment of that resurrection. Okay, so you cannot successfully inherit God's blessings without accepting the death of Christ. You can't do it. You just can't do it because it's His gift to you through His death and His blood. Okay, so wills are put in force after the death of the testator, but laws, now listen, laws are written for people who are alive, because if you die, the law no longer applies to you. That's why some of these mafia guys, you've heard about this, right? These mafia guys will fake their own death so that they won't have to serve out their prison sentence. Because the law doesn't apply to them. They're dead. Do you realize guys have done that? Yeah. The principle is laws only apply to the living. Wills are only put in force by people dying. We inherit because our power comes from the death of Jesus and His resurrection life. Amen? Isn't that cool? Yeah, laws don't apply to dead people. That's why Paul said, wow. He said, you're dead to the law, so you don't have to do it anymore. Right? That's not the basis of your righteousness. Did you know that? Because it doesn't apply to you. You died with Christ. So instead of doing principles, you do promises. Remember, the will is all about promises. Laws are about principles and precepts. And so God takes that which is all about precepts and He turns it into something about promises. Praise God. That's good. That's really good, Pastor John. Thank you very much. So the law's about rule. That's the second thing I want to tell you. The law's about rules, regulations, requirements, and rewards. So if you break the law by driving too fast, we're going to reward you by giving you a fine. Right? Right? It's true. It basically lays down a rule. Everybody say rule. And depending on how you do with the rule, it gives you a reward. Now, the reward can be a fine. It could be jail time. We're going to reward you for robbing that bank with a free hotel stay in beautiful Attica, New York. In New York, by the way, that's the high security maximum prison. All expenses paid. Right? It's a reward. It's a consequence for the rule that you broke by your behavior. So there's a one-to-one correspondence between what you do and what you get. But wills don't work that way, do they? You only have to use that kind of approach for people who are not in your family. But if you're talking about true family, a will applies to people who are what? Born of the same family. Wills have to do with who the relatives are. So when I do family history research, I find out in the will who the moms and the dads and who the brothers and sisters really are, because their names are usually listed there and where they live. You get to find out who they are. And so in your will, you give out to your sons your inheritance. You give them out. It's for family, isn't it? A will is based on relationship. Laws are based on rules. Wow. Yeah, isn't that exciting? Two girls and four boys. Right. To his church. Because it was based on his relationship. But it was a relationship that was not a biological relationship. It was a spiritual relationship. And you got to talk about this word favor and love. See, I believe that rules and testaments have to do with love and with favor. Because you, like the people that are given, like when a father or a mother gives away their inheritance through a will, they do it based on their love for their children. And they do it based on their favor. It's all favor. Those children didn't earn it, you know. It's not based on the performance of the people that receive it. It's based on the charity or the love of the giver. Totally dependent on the giver. Did those sons of that uncle of yours, did they have any say in what he did? Nope. There was no say. He just said, "This is what you're getting." And they had their whole lifetime, obviously, to influence his decision, but it really wasn't their decision, was it? Now, if I go get a job, my work is very much related to my reward. Hopefully, if you're working in a good job, and that if you work well, you'll be rewarded financially from it. And that's okay. That's the way the system's supposed to work. So wills are based on favor. And it's a settled matter. God loves us. He's blessed us. It's based on favor. And he distributes to everybody different parts of his blessings. And that's what's so cool. When the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians 12 about the Holy Spirit distributing to those that he wills, he would say, okay, I'm going to give Ronnie an anointing for worship. I'm going to give Stephen an anointing for chopping trees down or whatever. You know, whatever it is, the word of God. God will give us different anointings and different, like, apostolic anointings, prophetic giftings, worship, different Holy Spirit gifts, healings. John flows a lot in healing, right? So that's an inheritance from the Lord that the Lord decided to give him. And he may function and flow more in healing than you or me. But that's okay. There's something for you in that will too. And it may not necessarily be the same as the somebody next to you. There's a distribution of assets in a will that is determined by the executor or by the person there. The executor just starts handing out stuff. Well, you know, you inherited this car, you know, and then another person in the family got the house. Usually in the old-timey wills, you'd see the farm usually went to the oldest son. And then after the farm, then they distributed various other parts of the household, Usually he left all the household stuff to the wife. And then there was different parts of it, either pieces of property that were cut off specifically for other people or maybe just cash. You know what I'm saying? But in other words, there were different things given out based on the decision of the father. I just have to say, I feel very strongly that my life has been directed by the distribution of God's favor in my life. One day the Lord woke me up and he told me, he said, John, I've given you three areas that you did not ask for or qualify for. That's pretty cool.
That's how you know it's God.
Yeah. Let me say that again. I've given you three areas that you didn't ask for or qualify for. That you're going to do, that you're going to feel my anointing and my grace to do something that you never even thought you would do. He just gave it to me. And there are certain jobs and assignments and characteristics that God just says, I want you to do this. And here's the anointing. Here's the finances. Here's the smarts to do the job. Here, you know what I mean? The strength to do the job. Here are people to help you to do the job. And it's an inheritance. Am I making sense about how God distributes his anointing and his gifts? I'll give you some stories in my life. Maybe they'll speak to you. I went to Elam by a leading of the Holy Spirit. I was doing a service in Danville, and I had gotten words before that there was going to be a sudden shift. I was going to be leaving here suddenly. Okay? So I thought, oh, that's very interesting. You get that word, and you're like, okay. So I was in Danville, and I remember Linda Trueblood was there. Costa Dare was preaching. At the end of the service, he walks up to me, and he says, the Lord says, I want you to promise me right now that you're going to accept this job, apply for this job at Elam as the director of music. And I'm like, huh? But I felt the presence of the Lord come. Linda's sitting there laughing. So I said to Costa Dare, aye, aye, because he was that kind of guy, very forceful, you know. And so I go up there and I get the job. Well, part of my job was to do a recording and take groups out every year. Now, we had done some recording here. But they, like, actually went to, like, a recording studio where, you know, like, very nice recording studio. And I was like, this is all new to me. I didn't know anything or knew very little. We worked with a reel-to-reel tape recorder, you know what I mean? We didn't even do a whole lot there. So I'm like, God, you have to help me with this. So we did our first recording, and it was all right. But then one day, this guy visits. This guy visits the school, and I meet this long-haired dude, you know. And he's visiting with another pastor who's this rock guy, you know, rock musician, Mark, from Canada. And he says, I want you to meet this guy, Dan. I said, okay, that's cool. And Dan and I hit it off. He was really, really hurting. And he had just been through a really bad divorce, and he was just struggling. And I just loved him, and we just friendship. And then I found out later, this guy is a major record producer. He used to play for Andre Crouch. He was the keyboard player for, Randy Stonehill. He was Randy Stonehill's main keyboard guy, okay? He was there when Barbara Streisand recorded her Broadway album, Helping. That's like one of the greatest albums ever made in the history of America, okay? He was there in L.A. So he says to me, without me asking, he goes, John, I'm going to produce your next album, and I'll teach you how to do it. I inherited favor from the Lord. I didn't do anything to earn it. God just had it in his plan. Do you see what I'm saying? If you do where God goes and goes where God says, he will give you favor and he will provide things for you based on his choices. All we have to do is be faithful. Walk in relationship. I can't say any other reason other than God just loved on me. And that's just one story. I'll give you one other story, okay? Is that all right? I never, ever asked to be involved at all in drama, at all. That was not something that I did, ever. And the Lord's blessed us. We've written some shows here, and we've done some stuff. I even got a professor at a college, major university, said, this is really good, and it was a really good show. And I sent it to him just to see what he thought, you know. Anyway, I was at Evangel Cathedral in South Carolina. And by the way, Frank was always faithful. Frank would call me. I knew Frank from back in the early days, but he'd call me up and give me a word. I was up at Elam. I got there at Elam. I wasn't very long. He calls me up on the phone and says, put on a tape recorder. I've got a word for you. And he gave me a word about what God was going to do in my life. So I'm always very grateful for men of God that obey the Lord. Amen? And he would, and I was like out of the blue. And then I wouldn't hear from Frank for months. You know what I mean? And then I get another phone call. Key times in my life. And this is the second one. One was a key time when I went down to South Carolina. So I'm there in South Carolina. And they've got, you know, it's a really big church, you know. And it's really, you know, big this and that. And I'm trained to do what I'm doing here. And they have to do shows there, like big shows. That, like the guy that was there before. So they had this expectation that you had to put on a big production, like a drama. I did not know what I didn't. I didn't have any training. I didn't go to school for it. I didn't have anything to go to school for it. So they had Kim Clement there. He's there, and we have a service. This is back in 1980. So anyway, I was very young then, and he goes, John. He says the Lord says He's giving you the area of drama. I desperately needed it, right, Tim? You know what I mean? You're like, oh, help. What do I do? You know. Because how many of you were taught that if you wanted to learn something, you go to school, you take classes, you study, you do this or that? But what I'm trying to say is that there are areas of inheritance where the Lord has inheritances for you. In your life, whether it's areas of jobs that you end up doing. Let me ask you a question, Birgit. Did you, when you first came here to America, did you feel like you were going to be a successful realtor? Was that your initial? Yeah. But it was just in your blood. Okay. So you inherited it, right? It came from your family. Okay, so there are times when God will just give you something that you're like, wow, I never thought that would happen. Those are just two areas, and I believe there's more. I believe that there are other things that God will do for you based purely out of His grace and His inheritance. I was just listening to, you know what I believe? I believe that God is a door opener. It sounds funny to even talk like this, but a door opener is where, you know, there's a, God bless you. By the way, there's a principle in God of just about being led by the Holy Spirit, okay? And we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. But just because you go where God wants you to go doesn't necessarily mean the doors are going to be open once you get there, right? So you could go somewhere and knock on a door, and nothing, you know, nothing could happen. But Peter obeyed the Lord, went somewhere, and God opened up a door in the house of Cornelius, right? God opened a door to a centurion, a Roman centurion, who was a big shot. I mean, a Roman centurion's a kind of big figure in the Roman stuff. Peter was a businessman, a fisherman. He was not a high in the Roman authority structure, but God opened a door for him. That's an inheritance. There is an inheritance from God that will open doors for you to go places and to meet people and to see people and to step into His will that you did not earn by your efforts. Because there are people that have worked harder than you, smarter than you, richer than you, better looking than you, that got a whole lot less. But God will give you things, and you will inherit things, because you may be a whole lot uglier. You know what I'm saying? You just may not have money. You may be in the wrong place at the wrong time, but God knows how to fix you up and to open doors for you. to get you jobs, or whether it's to meet the right person to do the will of God, you know? And that's how God has used people to change nations, to change the town. A chance meeting, in a place where you eat breakfast with somebody one morning. You end up sitting down and talking to someone, and you don't realize that person is a very key person for an entire state. You're just like chatting with them, and all of a sudden you hit it off, and then stuff happens. And you're like, wow, God is that kind of God. He is an inheritance kind of God. He's an inheritance. Now, I'm not saying this for us to be lazy, do-for-nothing people. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that, because there is a place in this world where we have to work hard, and we have to, you know, be prompt, and we have to carry out godly principles to do what God wants us to do. But the gospel is not based on that. Now, the other thing I want to talk about is this. There's two more. There are situations, though, when you can reject what God has for you to inherit. And that's found in Galatians chapter 4. I have to give you warnings, because we all need warnings. And we have the situation in Galatians 4 about Hagar and Sarah. And you had two... You had Abraham's family. It was a multi-family unit in one house. He had a child by the slave, his slave in the house, and he had a child by his wife. So Abraham had a divided loyalty. Paul makes this very clear in Galatians chapter 4, that, and towards the end of the chapter, verse 28, I'm going to start with verse 28. Now you brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. Promise has to do with inheritance. Anytime you see the word promise, think inheritance. That means that it's been written down, God promises it to you, and it's going to happen when the will is put in force. At that time, the son born in the ordinary way, or the fleshly way, persecuted the son born by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the same now. But what does the scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. So there is a principle in God about inheritance, that the inheritance must function by the Holy Spirit, and there will come times when those who are rejecting that inheritance, they have to be separated, and there will be a separation going on there. And God is very, very serious about that. So it's hard to say. I really believe this, and I see this like the church. There is in front of us today, all over the world, you'll see what I call a visible church, which you could see with your eyes and ears. And then you have the spiritual church, which is the real church of God, the real body of Christ. And you have a lot of different forms. But if all the religion is something that's done in the carnal way, right? Because this is what Paul is saying. Paul is comparing Hagar and her son to the Jewish system of his day. You realize that? That's what he's saying. He is saying that Hagar and her son is that his Judaism of the day. He's saying they're not going to inherit anything. You're not going to get it, guys, by following the religious laws of Judaism. It's not going to work. It cannot inherit. It's only by promise. And I guess what I'm saying, how does this apply to our life today? You know, obviously, we're not in this conflict right now with Judaism. We don't have, you know what I mean, rabbis chasing around us like they did Paul, right? We don't see that. But what do we see? We see people who call themselves Christians. Come on now. But they're Christians by flesh. They're Christians by the natural mind. There's no spiritual function whatsoever. And they're out there. And there's going to come a day when they're going to have to be dealt with by the Lord. God's going to deal with them. I'm not going to deal with them. I love them. I let God take care of them. But we're going to see that. We're going to see, I believe, in our country, we're going to see it more and more. We're going to see Isaac and the son come forward in the inheritance, and we're going to see Ishmael and the one who is of the flesh. We're going to see that be separated out more and more and more and more, because God really wants his people to come into their inheritance. And we're going to see a manifestation of that. And I don't want to say a whole lot more than that, because I don't know myself what it's going to look like. But I know that there is a place where I don't want to be a Christian merely by my own efforts. I don't want to flow in that way. I want to flow in the land of promises, not the land of performance. It's just not going to work. You cannot live in the land of performance, because you'll never measure up to what God wants you to be. We have to receive it by faith. It's all about Jesus. It's all about him. It's all about what he's done for us. It's about his love for us, receiving his love for us. But I see something happening. I'm speaking more prophetically about this. I'm seeing this where there's a separating. There is a time, I'm telling you folks, when you have a group of, even in a small local church like this, there are times when separation must happen. Because you need to have people that need to be in a group, and you don't want the wrong people there. And there's a principle in God. Can you imagine what Abraham had to do? This was his child. Do you think he was a mean person? It looked mean, didn't it? It looked terrible. He would be arrested for child abuse or something. You know what I'm saying? But so it's not like Abraham really wanted to do that, right? But he did it because the Lord said, do it. And there are times when you see these separations, you're like, oh, man, I don't like this. I don't like the feelings I have about this. I don't like, but you have to just walk with the Lord and trust God and walk in the Holy Spirit. I'm just trying to bring an application to our personal lives, because these things happen in our lives where there is separation that has to happen. And I don't like to see it. All right, now let's go on to Galatians 5:21. And I have to say this. Start with verse 19, and then we're going to wrap it up. The acts of the sinful nature of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. By the way, pardon, it's in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Debauchery is like complete and total sexual, just no boundaries. Just whatever you feel like doing, you do. Okay? Not normal. Anything not normal. Okay? So basically, that kind of covers everything. And I have to say this. None of us could ever say that we are not guilty of sin. None of us are. But you have to read what the scripture is really saying. It says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So what I'm saying is that you cannot think that just because we live in a land of promise and we have an inheritance, it doesn't mean that you don't do whatever you want to do. You know what I'm saying? You cannot live like this. The Bible says it clearly, that even though it's an inheritance from the Lord, the Bible is extremely clear that you cannot inherit if you live like it. It doesn't mean that if you make a mistake, or if you know what I mean? If it's a problem that you struggle with, that's one thing. But if you live like that, you will not inherit the kingdom. You can't. You cannot, because you're living by the flesh. And so the Bible is extremely clear in here in Galatians that, and, you know, look at it. Look what it says. Idolatry, witchcraft, impurity, hatred, jealousy. So that doesn't mean that if you get a jealous every now and then, that's one thing. But I'm talking about giving yourself over to these words, agreeing with them, embracing them as a lifestyle, justifying them, excusing them, changing the rules. I mean, there are churches that are changing the rules about morality to make it convenient. They're doing the same thing today with sexuality that they did during slavery time. You realize there were churches that were excusing slavery because they were in conflict with the culture around them. They were rewriting the scripture. They're, oh, it doesn't really matter if you have a slave, if you treat people. Do you realize the conflict Christians had? It split churches. They compromised because of cultural pressure about slavery back in the 1800s in America, and churches are doing it today about a different kind of slavery. Absolutely. Yes. The Bible is like, no, no, this is not good. If you can be free, get free. That's what the Bible said. All right, so it was strong about that, and the church was really being torn apart because there were people that were actually justifying it. And here's where it was really bad. There were Christians that were literally teaching, and I've heard it spoken by people today. I'm not saying anybody I've seen recently, who believed and that the Bible taught that Africans were of a lower race and they were not really human. They were cursed. Like Ham. Come on. How many of you have heard that taught by somebody? Come on. That's the same theology that was dominating during slavery. And that's why they could justify in their minds and go to church and have these black, because they didn't believe they were real, they believed they were cursed. So therefore, they should be slaves. And that's not God. That's just evil. That is evil. Yeah, they're not a real people. They should be cursed. They should be done away with. I've encountered that, and there's still little pockets. You know, I'm not saying, but it's not good. So we cannot compromise because of pressure culturally what you inherit when you inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot do those things and feel like you're going to inherit the kingdom of God. So that this is the balance to the teaching about grace and inheritance that we need to really embrace, that we have to know that we have to live like a son and a daughter if we're going to receive the inheritance. Because you all are sons of God by faith in Christ. All of us. All of us are sons of God by faith in Christ. Now I want to say one more thing and we're going to close and then we're going to receive communion. Ephesians chapter 1. I want to finish with Ephesians. And then we'll get everybody upstairs and we'll have communion together. Ephesians chapter 1. Yeah, that'd be good. Ephesians 1. Let's start with verse 11. Ephesians 1:11. I'm going to read through 14. In Him, in Christ, we were also chosen. Now, chosen is the language of inheritance, right? Because the Father chooses you to include you in His will. Having been predestined according to the plan of Him. Don't you put... Isn't a will a form of planning and predestining? Somewhere along the line, this person's going to receive my treasured ring. I'm going to give my ring away to somebody, and it's going to be this person. I'm predestining them to receive that ring. They've been chosen. Okay? Who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So what the Bible teaches right here, that even though Jesus died and we are inheriting the kingdom, we have not received everything that God wants to give us and that God is planning to give us. Aren't you glad for that? I'm really glad for that. And so the Holy Spirit is a deposit or a guarantee of everything that God wants to give us. So he is the very first thing that we get, but not everything has been put out yet for us to receive. And that's the beautiful thing about the gospel, is that Jesus died so that we can inherit the kingdom, but the kingdom has not yet been fully delivered to us. So we still pray, thy kingdom come. That means it's not here all the way yet. Got it? Now, the kingdom has come in Christ. You got that? It already has come, but it is also coming. And God's will has been done. In other words, the will has been sealed. It's been ratified. It's unchangeable. Yet, there's more to his will as we live out this life. So, you know, it's not really an either or, it's a both and kind of scenario. So when we pray God's will, we are praying, you got to hear me, we are praying his written will as well. Thy written will be done. Let it be executed. Let the will of God be brought to pass. Let the inheritance be passed out to those whom God wants to give it. And he's given every one of you a deposit or a starter dose, so to speak, or the beginning of a great inheritance. Now, we can't give you everything right now, but I'm going to give you something so that you know that the rest is coming. And what I'm giving you will be plenty for you right now. And I will provide for you, says the Lord, whatever you need in the future so that what I've given you will satisfy you now and take you every step of the way until you receive everything that God has for you. Amen. Amen. The Lord has a tremendous inheritance, and he's given you the Holy Spirit as a guarantee, and he uses that word seal. So the will of God has been unsealed, but the inheritance has been sealed for you because he is taking the seals off a little at a time. You see what I'm saying? So there are things in your scroll that have been sealed by the Holy Spirit that you have yet to step into. Come on. There are some things, there's the will of God that some of you need to say, I've got something ahead of me that I need to step into. And I see a seal on that scroll. I don't know what's inside that scroll yet. Come on, you hear what I'm saying? There are things that God has for you and you that you have yet to see. But you see the seal. And every time you pray in tongues, you pray in the Spirit, you are praying that seal. And sometime God is going to take that seal off and he's going to start showing you what there's more for you. There's more of God's inheritance. There's more of God's provision. There are other places, other people, other anointings, other provisions, other blessings, other imperishable things. You know what I mean? All these things that God has given us for you and for me. Amen.